Let's turn now to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we will be reading all of chapter 14, but we're also going to go back to chapter 13 and finish that which we did not finish last Lord's Day in verse 14 and verse 33. So we'll read that as well, Joshua 13, verse 14, and then we'll skip down to verse 33 and read through the entirety of chapter 14. And before we read God's Word, let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise. We're again thankful that You speak to us, that You have not hidden Your face that much from us, if You have at all. And taking Your Word away from us. You have not done so, but You have continued to speak to us, in which we praise You for, that we would turn unto You, and that You would shine Your face upon us. We ask now that You would do so and grant us Your Word in our minds and our hearts, and unto our wills and our affections, that You would sanctify Your people. That You would turn the hearts of those in darkness unto the light of Jesus and found in Jesus Christ alone, and save them from themselves, and grant them life everlasting. And this we hope in and exalt You for, that You have granted this to Your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 13, verse 14. And then we'll skip down to verse 33. Joshua 13, verse 14, these are God's words. Only unto the tribe of Levi He gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as He said unto them. And those are God's words. And then skipping down to verse 33, these also are the words of God. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as He said unto them. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half a tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites He gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. And those are God's words. Now again, last Lord's Day we skipped over in chapter 13, verses 14 and 33, and both having to do with the inheritance of the Levites. And then in chapter 14, we have more of the Levites' inheritance spoken of, the same to the east of the Jordan, but predominantly we're told in chapter 14 of the inheritance of Caleb and his children, or his household. And then later on we'll see more of the Levites' inheritance to the west of the Jordan. And yet it's virtually the same as we see here. The first point this evening is the Lord is your inheritance. The Lord is your inheritance. Chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "Only unto the tribes of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them." Now, if you remember last Lord's Day, we saw in chapter 13 that those east of the Jordan River, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, received their portions under Moses. That again alluded to in chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, and therefore the Levites too. But we have been continuously reminded of them for the last couple of Lord's Days, and they had their portions rehearsed again last Lord's Day. And right here, right there in the midst of going through these portions east of the Jordan, we have this interruption of sorts as you go through. You come to verse 14, and there's an interruption. Levites, they don't have an inheritance, not of land. The sacrifices and offerings are their inheritance. And then again at the end of the chapter, after going over what Moses had told the Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, their inheritance again, and the borders of that, again, the Levites' interruption, they didn't receive an inheritance. The Lord is their inheritance. And so the Levites, we know, didn't receive any land. And what does this mean? What does it mean for them? It means they didn't receive any land, at least in these two chapters, they didn't receive any land inheritance east of the Jordan. It's not like the author, the Lord, through the author, forgot what was just said in chapter 13 and then coming to chapter 14, says it again, and he does that. He's reminding us they didn't have land. And a land inheritance, not to the east, and then later on we'll see not to the west. And it just they had an inheritance, it just wasn't land. They received, chapter 13, verse 14, they received the tenth of all the first fruits of all the other tribes, and they came and offered that those tribes that came and offered their sacrifices, they would receive a tenth of them. In Numbers 18, the Lord promised them this. It says there, "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." They received no land portion. They would, though, receive from all the other tribes a tenth of the produce of the land, right? And essentially in their sacrifices. And so that, as God's design was, though they were the least of all the tribes, they would receive the greatest share. A greatest share of the fruit of the land, and that without manual labor and expense of that produce. to produce it. All the other tribes would labor, sowing and reaping and shepherding, etc. The Levites' work was to do the service of the tabernacle. And that the majority, except for Aaron and his sons, who are the high priest and in line to be the high priest, would the rest of them would work diligently for 2 weeks during the year on rotation. And they had the great honor of a duty to guard the worship in Israel that others wouldn't come in and die. They were teachers of God as well when they went back to their cities, wherever they lived, throughout the land of Israel, but not in their own land, in other tribes' lands. Their inheritance, it also says, which is one in the same chapter, verse 33 of chapter 13. But unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now we might ask, how does that mesh with verse 14? And we listen to Deuteronomy, and it teaches us, God's Word interprets His Word. It tells us how verse 14 goes with verse 33, how their inheritance are a tenth of the offerings in the Lord. And so it says, Deuteronomy 10, verse 9, wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren, the Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. And then in Deuteronomy 18, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. And so it works together. It's the same. Those tithes and offerings of Israel belong to whom? Jehovah. And the Lord gives a tenth of them to the Levites as part of their inheritance. But now we hear this, the Lord God of Israel is their inheritance. And we ask, what does that mean? The Lord was their portion for their temporal blessing and good. The Lord was to be their enjoyment as their covenant God, and the blessing granted to them of communion with Him specially. What greater portion is there than communion with the Lord and enjoyment of Him? Maybe some at that time would have been, well, I want some land though. And the reality, beloved, is that the tribes of Israel were granted these temporal, physical portions of the land for their inheritance. And yet, as we've heard many times recently, all of them were a shadow of that heavenly land. That heavenly land that Abraham awaited and longed for. To all who turn unto the Lord and Jesus Christ by faith, this land that we see divided up here is all a shadow of that, pointing to that. And the Levites' inheritance points us to the greatest inheritance that we will have. Not only will we have that heavenly land, which we are definitely promised as God's people, but we are also promised the greatest inheritance as well as God's people. Most people would answer, if we asked, what is the greatest inheritance that you could have? Most people would answer, and they would speak worldly speaking, and say, the riches from my parents. Well, for a lot of people, that's not very great. I would say, if we were to compare with all the other nations in the world, that my parents are rich, and yet you wouldn't know it by looking at them. I grew up on a farm, and I have an inheritance, at least as it's been told me. It could change, of course. But I will receive 50%, and my sister will receive the other 50%. That means half the farmland will go to me, and half the farmland will go to my sister, of which we know in Northwest Illinois it's very good soil. Seems really good. I can be happy about that. But what is that compared to having God Himself as our inheritance forever? Because all that will perish and be destroyed or taken away by the government. I don't know. Right? What is that compared to God Himself? Psalm 16 says, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord is my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage, goodly inheritance. Praise the Lord. And this we see a psalm of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption in His body. Right? He's the resurrection of the dead. Jesus was risen from the dead. And we, being in union with Jesus, have what He has. And His inheritance is what? He's received the world and everything in it. That's ours in union with Christ. He's the King over all. But He's also received the Lord Himself. And so we, in union with Christ, will have the Lord as our inheritance forever. God is our inheritance. And with God as our inheritance, we should be content beyond measure. No other desire, no other want, but in Christ, our God has made our cup, Psalm 16 we just read, our cup full. In Christ Jesus, our cup is full. Jesus Christ taking the cup of wrath, the full cup of wrath upon Himself, so that we could have the cup of blessing and drink it. That's our inheritance. Our cup is full. And our hearts are full too in the Lord. Beloved, one theologian said, those that have God for their inheritance today, who are in Christ by faith according to the gospel, having God as their inheritance, should not be greedy of great things in the world, neither gripe what they have, nor grasp at more, but look upon all present things with the indifference which becomes those that believe God to be all sufficient. You should take all those things you have. What are they really, compared to the Lord and the living God? Is He sufficient for an inheritance or not? You take all those things. What if someone takes those things from you? You have your home. You have your things, your cars, your money and your bank account. Whatever you have. Like me, I have an inheritance. It seems like it would be nice to have that inheritance later in life. But what is that? What if it's taken all away from you? Are you going to sit there and mourn and weep? Even if you do weep, in which you probably should, suffering in some great way like that, everything taken from you, in that weeping should be great joy, because you still have God, which is perfect. The God, the all-sufficient God, who is your inheritance. And He will never be not enough. He's enough. If you have nothing else, and you have Him, you have everything. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, is the Lord completely sufficient for me or not? And your life will tell you, if in your heart, truly, your inheritance of God Himself is sufficient to you. Your heart will tell you this. When you covet after other things. And when dire straits come, or sufferings, or whatever comes, your heart will tell you if God is sufficient. when David was in a cave. In Psalm 142, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Right? He had nothing on this earth. He was in a cave. His family, gone. He was by himself, really. He had nothing. And he continues, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge. He said, refuge family. Anything in the world that was a refuge to him. Home, money, those things that we can use as our refuge. Oh, we can always just go and something's broken, stolen, and we'll just go and buy more. We have insurance, we'll go buy it again. Oh, refuge failed me. No man, no person cared for my soul. And so he says, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion. That's inheritance language, right? My portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. The Lord is enough for him. The Lord was his refuge. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Think of all the affliction that also Jeremiah went through as a prophet when the great sins and the fall of Judah was coming and was there. And he underwent great sufferings, and he said in Lamentations, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, inheritance language, right? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Jeremiah had nothing. Judah was ravaged, but he has the Lord as his portion. And that's all he needed. Jehovah is sufficient for you and sufficient for all of us. And if He is sufficient, Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. And my portion forever. And the lesson here is that we should never prize the gifts the Lord gives us, like the land, property that we have, even heaven itself. We should never prize heaven as greater than the Lord Himself. The prized possession, the great inheritance that we receive, the greatest is Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Himself. Prize the Lord. Love the Lord. Not the things He's granted as much as loving Him. Commune with Him. And you will find the things of the world will fall in importance. They will disappear in importance. You'll have anxiety. You have anxiety over various things, or stress over what's happening in the world right now. Who is your great inheritance? Is it the Lord alone? We see here that He is sufficient. He's the only reason you have any comfort and hope in heaven and eternal life and all those gifts and blessings that are less of importance in your inheritance than He Himself. It's because of Him. We get heaven shown and the land promises here, but beloved, we get God. We receive, of all the blessings, we receive God. All the blessings of His saints, all the happiness that is reserved at the right hand of God in union with Jesus Christ, in which there are pleasures forevermore, we receive the greatest of all of those, which is God Himself. Now some of you might ask, why did the Levites not receive a land portion? And you might go to a commentary in Joshua and you might try to figure that out. And I did that, of course. And I looked and I went back and none of them addressed this. I don't know why, it's pretty obvious, at least if we go through the Scriptures. It's because of Jacob's son Levi and what he did with Simeon. Levi and Simeon disobeyed their father in Genesis, I believe it's like 35 or 34. They disobeyed their father and they murdered the Shechemites. You remember that, some of you? After one of the Shechemites had raped Dinah, Jacob's daughter. And the Lord through Jacob said this in Genesis 49 when he was going over the blessings and some of the judgments to his sons, which would end up being blessings to those tribes and the peoples after them. He said, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. And you focus on that last part that had to do exactly with their inheritance. And we'll learn about Simeon the same, which it tells of Simeon there. I will divide them in Jacob. And we'll come back to that later when we get to Simeon's portion of the land. Levi was promised, and scatter them in Israel. And that's what was given to Levi in the land. They were scattered. They didn't receive the land portions because of the sin from centuries before that. And their great, 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 etc. grandfather, Levi. Jacob's son. The promise, scatter them in Israel. And so they would be scattered not only to the east of the Jordan, later we'll see to the west of the Jordan. Now what a great and merciful God when we come to this passage and we see that this tribe who's come from Levi, that He still grants them an inheritance, and that which points us to the greatest inheritance, the Lord Himself. A tenth of all the sacrifices, but the Lord Himself. Yet scattered among all the tribes. What a merciful God that He still gave them Himself and didn't cast them immediately away in Levi and cut Levi off then in Genesis 49 or even in Genesis 35 or 34 or whatever it was. And now you go to Joshua chapter 14 and verses 3 and 4, and it talks again about Moses and what happened with the Levites. It says, For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half a tribe on the other side, Jordan, that's the east side, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in and their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. The Lord even more merciful to them. He gave them cities to dwell in amongst the other tribes. And even places for their cattle and their substance. And so the Levites lived among and were scattered amongst those east of the Jordan. And to all the children of God, here we see that the Lord is your inheritance in Jesus Christ. Well, chapter 14 now, again, it begins with an introduction of the dividing up of the land. And again, reminds the tribes of those east of the Jordan. And then it comes to the west of the Jordan in verse 6. Verse 1, we'll read all of it to verse 5. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. That is, they divided the land east of the Jordan. But now the second point, and we come to Caleb that Caleb asked for his portion in the land. You might ask, especially newer believers, you might ask, well, why is Caleb receiving a portion when he is not a tribe? He's a man, right? There's no Calebites. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And Judah is going to receive their portion of land. So then why is Caleb receiving land for himself and his household? And that's the second point this evening. The second point this evening is follow the Lord with all your heart. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Verse 6. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, right? Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb is. Children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. What is amazing first here is that Caleb, from the Hebrew, it says literally in verse 6 there in the middle, it says, you, repeats the word you, emphasizing that, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses. You, Joshua, you know. Why? Because you were standing next to me when the Lord spoke it to us through Moses. You know this because you were with me. And so everything that Caleb is about to say after this, Joshua already knows. And he reminds Joshua about what the Lord spoke to unto them through Moses 45 years ago, verse 10. 45 years ago, after they came back with the other 10 spies, after they came from the wilderness into the land of Canaan, and then they spied out the land, and they came back to the congregation of Israel with the other 10. Joshua, Caleb, and the other 10 spies. And some of you know what happened, beloved. The other 10 spoke up, and it's talked about here as we just read. The other 10 spoke up to the congregation first. And verse 8, it says, they made the heart of the people melt. Now, we've going through Joshua, we know that language. That's not good language. That's language like the king and people of Jericho experienced. Their hearts melted because they knew that they would not be able to defeat the Israelites as they came in. Because Jehovah was their God. And what Jehovah had done to Sihon and Og on the east of the Jordan, they would surely do to Jericho. And so their hearts melted, knowing they would be defeated at the hand of the God of Israel. And Caleb recalls to Joshua's mind what the 10 spies did. They came back, those 10 spies came back to the congregation and gave a report of the land of Canaan 45 years ago that made God's people fear their enemies instead of fearing the Lord. They did not trust in the Lord, but were man-fearers. They feared man. And so the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, right? The spies came back, made the people's heart melt and fear man. And so those people, then all of Israel, turned unto Moses and Aaron and murmured against them. And they didn't trust the Lord. And so they grumbled against the Lord, and saying, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They'd rather go back to slavery. And that's what the weak spies who feared man did, because they spoke lies to the people and feared man instead of fearing God. And it was at that time that Joshua and Caleb, hearing this in Numbers 14, they tore their clothes, they rent their clothes. And they were so grieved in their heart about the report that the other 10 spies brought back that they tore their clothes. They were grieved in their hearts. They spoke to the people of Israel about who had been murmuring and grumbling and made to fear man and caused the people to fear man. And who wanted to go back to being slaves in Egypt. And they said, no! The land that we went into and we spied out is an exceedingly good land. They said, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, because they told the truth, and because they trusted in the Lord. The rest of the people, hearing this, wanted to stone them to death. And Jehovah is, of course, angry with His people there in Numbers 14, and they had sinned against Him, and they had sinned against His promises and dishonored His redeeming them and His being the Redeemer. And they had lied. They had not trusted in faith the Lord's power and His promise that He would bring them into the land and He would destroy all their enemies. They didn't believe. And Moses pleads as the mediator, pointing us to Christ, who pleads for us. Moses pleads as mediator for Israel to the Lord. And he said, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And he pleads for pardon, forgiveness. Forgive their sins, Lord. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Right? The 10 spies, and then those people who followed those 10 spies, that first generation didn't enter into the land because they feared man instead of trusting the Lord. And Caleb is promised a portion of an inheritance in the land. And so Caleb, with Joshua, had come back from the land encouraged, because he had seen the great Egyptians fall and die in the sea. Caleb had seen Jehovah do so many great and wonderful and miraculous wonders for His people. And he knew Jehovah could destroy any people, any great military, and bring them to nothing, even if they were the giants, the Anakim, that are talked about in our passage. For the Lord is omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. And delivers His people from their enemies and is always, always, always faithful to His promises. And this, beloved, is what we need today. Trusting the Lord's promises no matter what comes. No matter the circumstances. No matter what it appears with our eyes that is impossible, that could not be done. Nothing is impossible with God if it's His plan. I remember my friend after I became a Christian. He was my neighbor in the rural sense. He was my neighbor. And he said, after I became a Christian, I never believed that God would ever save you. To him, it was impossible for me to be saved by our God. And you can look back on life, beloved, all of you, if you're a Christian, you can testify these things all the time that have happened. The unbelievable coming about. Exactly according to the Lord's plan and providence by His power and His mercy and His grace. Think back on the Lord's mercy and His grace and the wonders that He has shown to you. Think back on His promises and how He's always faithful. Even when you doubted, He was still faithful. And now live, beloved, with that faith in all your heart, Caleb believed the Lord with all his heart and wholly followed the Lord. And that's what pastors and elders need today. There are pastors and elders like the 10 spies who fear man. And they don't teach and preach God's word. But they are scared. And that causes what? It causes the people's heart to melt and be fearful of man and be scared. But pastors and elders need today is to not fear man, but to trust the Lord. Even when the people rebel, even when everyone in the world hates them and people in the church hate them, just like Caleb and Joshua were going to be stoned, right? They took up stones against them. Doesn't matter. Like Numbers 14, murmuring against Moses and Aaron, grumbled against Jehovah, trying to kill Caleb and Joshua. Pastors and elders and all of us, we are called here to remain faithful with all of our hearts to follow after the Lord. Next week, this week we have presbytery meeting. And then after that we'll have synod and we'll have other meetings after that. And the call here is to elders, follow wholly your heart in faith to the Lord. In faith to the Lord, follow Him with all of your heart. Our duty is not in making the hearts of the people melt. That's the easy thing to do. But exalting in the Lord who makes His enemies' hearts melt and follow Him. Caleb had done that with Joshua by God's grace. Caleb continued in verse 9, recalling this to Joshua, that the Lord blesses and rewards those who wholly follow after the Lord with all their heart. He says in verse 9, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Joshua blessed them and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was the great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Caleb is requesting Hebron to be that inheritance in accordance with the promises of the Lord through Moses from the book of Numbers. He requests that land where Abraham and Lot divided their land between them in Genesis 13. It's that place where also Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their wives were buried. The first lot of land bought by Abraham to bury his wife. And so it might be the most historical, sentimental, and good land of all the land of Israel granted to his people. Moreover, remember last Lord's Day, we read of God's people east of the Jordan River not expelling from the land and destroying those from the land who still remained, the Canaanites. Chapter 13, verse 13. "Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershurites nor the Maacathites, but the Gershurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day." The tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had a duty to cast them out and expel them and destroy them. But they failed. They were lazy. And they remained at home with their families. Caleb says, "I'm still as strong today as I was 45 years ago. And I'm ready to go to war. And I'm ready to go in and destroy them. These who are still in the land, who remain." even the Anakim. So Caleb didn't fear. He knew, just as was promised in chapter 13, he knew the Lord would deliver them over to him, and they would be destroyed. Caleb didn't fear. He believed. He did not fear. He believed. Jesus commanded the ruler in the synagogue, and he commands you today, be not afraid, only believe. Believe and follow the Lord wholly with all your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of this world, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what happened with Caleb. He sought first the kingdom of God. He believed the Lord and His promises, and the Lord rewarded him. And the greatest reward is the great inheritance of the Lord Himself. Beloved, we're called to live a life of faith like Caleb, but we're also called to live a life of faith that might be a little easier to understand like Noah. Remember Noah? How was it that Noah persevered in building the ark when as he stood alone amidst the world of sinners and unbelievers, he had to endure scorn and ridicule and mockery? What was it that held his arm steady to the work and made him to patiently work on and face all of that? It was faith. As Hebrews 11 says, he believed in the wrath to come, and he believed the Lord's promise. He believed that there was no safety except in the ark that he was preparing by God's grace. Believing, he held the world's opinion very cheap. Whatever the world think, whatever man thought, he held that very cheaply. It was worthless to him. Didn't matter to him. Often very important to us. It should not be important to us. He counted the cost by faith, and had no doubt that the building of the ark was gain for him. And of course, that ark points us to Christ and salvation. So Caleb, in the same way, had no doubt that our God and his God, Jehovah, was able to deliver all that land of Hebron easily to him. Even though he was not a whole tribe, he was just one household. And that the only safe thing to do was to trust the Lord with all of his heart and all of his life. Christian, you're called to trust the Lord with all of your heart and all of your life. And this again, if you're outside of Christ, be warned what the Lord says. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you diligently seek after the Lord as your inheritance? Sufficient for over everything, the greatest inheritance. And He rewards us just as He rewards Caleb. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for speaking to us through these words. We're thankful for the example of Caleb, that he is to us by faith. And we pray that You would grant us such faith. Such faith that we would follow after You with all of our heart. And all Your commandments, according to all Your promises and hope and comfort in them. Believing that just as You say, You will do. And so when trouble comes, we don't fret or fear. We don't take into consideration and fear man, but we seek to fear You and follow after You in faith. Make us faithful then, by Your Spirit, in these things. And that we would see that You are completely sufficient for all that we need and all that we already have. And we have in You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do praise You and thank You for being merciful to us, sinners. Make us to believe and help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.